You are listening to Mark Hatmaker Rough and Tumble Raconteur. This is a grab bag of old school Western martial arts, resurrected indigenous ways and empirical musings tinged with a heavy dose of respect, admiration, let's call it hero worship, for these hosses of yore. Hey crew, this is Mark Hatmaker coming to you from the Comancheria. Today, let's do another one of our little stories from the frontier. This one is actually going to take us to the West, and we'll title this one, Walk 'em Down. And that's actually, if you've seen the 1944 John Wayne film, Tall in the Saddle, where the guy walks down the center of the street, you think you're going to get your stereotypical draw. It don't happen because he just keeps walking and says under his breath at some point, touch it and I'll kill you. Well, hold on to your hats, kids. True story. Let's talk about Milton B. Duffield. Born in Wheeling, West Virginia, Duffield drifted at an early age over to Ohio, where he worked as a merchant. He married, father, and four children, all of which he abandoned. He wound up in Tuolumne County, California. This is around 1852, where he sought his fortune in real estate, gold mining claims, etc. In these gold camps, Duffield won many a drink with his steady hand and a sure six-shooter aim. Lots of gun pulling here. We won't go into all this because I want to get to this main walk 'em down area. As time's passed, he's a foul-looking, hard-drinking Duffield. He became utterly audacious frontier personality. I mean, really, huge character. The person many people are offended by, and most people are afraid of, though, adding to his intemperate behavior, was his well-granted suspicions about questionable business dealings. Okay, so again, you know, him being a little bit disreputable himself, hanging around with such sorts. But again, he was absolutely fearless with regard to his own personal safety. I mean, he's deliberately cool in any desperate encounter. It wasn't long before this guy, he's 6'3", around 220 pounds. So actually, the Duke is a good stand-in for such a thing. Duffield found some troubles. In 1854, Duffield was attacked by James G. Lyons, Tim Hazelton, and a man known as Scott. That's all we got. No, we don't have his first name or his last name. This trio commenced firing at Duffield as he was walking down a public street. Throws three guys, pull guns, start firing. Duffield, as he walked down a public street, he seemingly possessed nothing but raw nerve. He keeps walking, dirks out one of his own revolvers, and he shoots down Lyons. Hazelton and Scott flee. So he kept going, and the accounts say that he didn't duck. He just kept walking into him. There's a little few more things that move around, happened around the outbreak, the Civil War, moving on to New Mexico territory, Arizona territory. Let's move on to where Duffield arrives in Tucson. Arizona, the town was just starting to live up to a stereotypical image as a wild and woolly frontier community. There was an overabundance of loose livestock, you know, loose women and loose tops on the whiskey barrels, and there's a loose interpretation of how the law should be enforced. Yet Milton Duffield, wearing a silk hat top on his balding head, he's got an arsenal concealed in his clothes. He felt at home in many of the cantinas and the dirt-floored saloons at the time. Now, get this. This is how often, I mean, how well-armed he was. This is coming from witnesses to Duffield's personal artillery inventory here. And he was considered eccentric, but no one called him on him, all right? Quote, he drew weapons from the armholes of his waistcoat, that is his vest, from his boot legs, from his hip pockets, and from the back of his neck. On a war footing, nothing less than a couple of Gatling guns would have served to round out the armament. So again, think about that. That's crazy. So you're reaching into your vest. You've got guns down in the boots. You've got one rigged to the back of the neck. It's just absolutely, this guy is strapped, man. During one well-publicized dispute with a former Confederate officer, Lieutenant Colonel Kennedy, we don't know the guy's first name, Duffield knocks the man flat to the ground, starts kicking him in the head. Whenever Kennedy in the ground's kind of befuddled, gains his feet, and he takes off, and Marshall pulls out a derringer, shoots him in the butt. I mean, it's painful, but non-fatal wound. I mean, just particularly just disrespectful, just didn't care, didn't give a, well, you know. On another occasion, there's a guy named Waco Bill, who was a teamster and a Texan. He was drunk on rot gut whiskey. He declared he wanted his own personal piece of this new lawman in town, referring to Duffield. When Duffield was obliged, Waco Bill had hardly reached for a six-shooter when Duffield's bullet struck him in the groin. Again, aiming low. I don't know if this was always a strategy for Duffield, but shooting in the butt and in the groin, that's what you get. Now, Duffield had an extreme hatred for ex-Confederates and their sympathizers, and he always, due to this hatred, he had unrelenting attacks on the Southerners. Now, this made it difficult for the territorial officials to heal the old wounds, and the marshal made a lot of people happy when, enormously dissatisfied with delays in financial compensations, he tendered his resignation November 25, 1865, to become effective on April 1st the following year. No one tried to change his mind. I mean, he was good at what he did, but people said, yeah, we don't really need this guy around here. seeking other work and weary of wrangling with the past expense accounts, Duffield secured appointment as a special postal agent for Arizona, New Mexico, and Colorado, and the officials replaced him in March 1872 to part of his high-handed conduct. So again, Duffield's really hard to get along with. Get this, he has a dispute with a newspaper editor, Pearson Dooner. And get this, at the time, there's a lot of fights amongst newspaper editors at the time. These guys weren't worried about slinging bad vibes in the print, and they would also have to be strapped often. Anyway, this newspaper editor, his name was Pearson Dooner. He was holding a pistol in each hand, and both of them were aimed at Duffield's chest. Now, Duffield just stared him down. Nothing happened. Walked up on him. Again, I'll call to that scene in Tall in the Saddle. Just walked up on him. Two guns pointed at him. Just doesn't care, man. Another occasion, Duffield challenged Tucson Mayor Fred Mache to a duel. All right, so he's newspaper editors, mayors, what have you. The district attorney, a man named McCaffrey, approached him from behind to hopefully stop this thing. He puts a small pistol against his back. This is the district attorney, keep in mind. He pulls the trigger. The gun misfires. Duffield turns back around, slaps him to the ground. So we're talking so far. Duffield's just got some nerve. Got to be the luckiest guy that ever existed. In June 1872, Mexicans entered his, we don't know what their names are, and it's not listed here, entered his residence while he slept and tried to kill him with a hatchet and a knife. He took a blow to the shoulder, which awakened him, and then Duffield chased him out of there with his bare hands. Quoting from him, he says, "I sprang up from my bed and fought them, and in grasping a large knife, my right thumb was cut off. That prevented me from cocking my pistol, although I finally got one shot. They retreated, but not till they made some 31 wounds on my person," unquote. So keep this in mind. Grabs a knife. His thumb comes off. Can't cock the pistol, but he's still fighting them off. They take off, and then he winds up firing left-handed. Nuts. But, you know, all good things got to come to an end, and this walk down doesn't always work. Duffield continued to be the focal point for many, many more brawls. We could keep going on with this guy, but his life came to an abrupt end on June 5th, 1874, during a dispute with one Joseph T. Holmes over a piece of real estate. Holmes has a double-barrel shotgun. He stood firm. Duffield starts doing his walk down thing for him, and Holmes is like, not today, and he pulls the trigger, and Duffield goes down. Anyway, but we've already got tons of records of him just doing that, looking someone in the eye, walking up on him or standing there and saying things like, "Do it, pull, let's do it." Sometimes bare hands, sometimes not, shooting people in the butt, shooting people in the groin. Just craziness, man. The wild and woolly frontier was wild and woolly. Anyway, take care of yourself, crew. If you enjoyed what you heard here, like, support, share the podcast and all that noise. And we'll see you again on this coming Monday. Well, if you dig what we just discussed today, I'd like to invite you to like and subscribe to the podcast. Hell, support it if you want. I'm not your dad. Do what you want. And if you're a glutton for punishment, just visit our website, extremeselfprotection.com. You'll find links to the blog, all of our products, and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of more pages of like musings.